It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. We are live at the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland rocks. Pat Brady, long-suffering former head of the Illinois Republican Party, is here. And every morning, the Illinois delegation has a breakfast, right, at their swanky hotel.
Yes.
Here in Cleveland. And every day, there's more confusion about Donald Trump. It seems like to me that you've got some delegates, some Trump delegates, many of whom have never been around this process before, right?
Yeah, most of them haven't been around this process at all.
Right, because this is, I mean, that's part of the insurgency thing, right? That's
it's good. It's good for the party.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
you know, really?
I told you. You said it. It's fine. Yeah.
How's everybody coming on board? We're hearing a lot of people are, a lot of Illinois Republicans, let's face it, are not on the Trump train yet. And will this week be enough to convince them? Are we going to see more of them? Or are people going to say, hey, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to endorse him. I'm not going to support him.
I don't think that the first 2 days of this convention convinced anybody that was on the fence with Donald Trump to be with Donald Trump. The first day was very angry and not much message. Mm-hmm. And last night was angry and not much message. I'm hoping that tonight we're going to see some good speeches about what Republicans can do to make the country better and less about Hillary's a liar. We already won that battle. 80% of the country thinks Hillary's a liar. So hopefully tonight we'll hear about what the Trump agenda is, and that's one of the big criticisms. We don't know what his agenda is.
So you didn't like the Chris Christie speech, which is kind of, I thought was like a mock trial. It was, getting the crowd to just sort of get engaged in this really ugly way.
Well, the thing is, as soon as you make her a victim, she becomes popular. Mm-hmm. When she was at her height of her popularity, when her husband was impeached, she was at 65-70%. When she starts talking policy and just talking, period, yeah, she becomes very unpopular.
Well, don't you find, as I do, There is a disturbing lack of substance to everything I've seen. I mean, they had a professional golfer on yesterday. They've had already had two daytime stars in prime time.
I talked to Chachi yesterday.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh,
I told him you said hey.
Oh, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah,
you're not old enough, are you?
I remember Charles in Charge, and I remember that show. And, of course, Joni loves Chachi.
Joni loves, yeah. Now, apparently, Joni would not love Chachi now, because Chachi went
so
off
Chachi's
the deep
end. All anti-woman now,
yeah.
Apparently.
I mean, that interview that he did the next morning, after he did on Tuesday morning, the thing where he was, talking about the, the president is a Muslim and he doesn't believe in the same God that I do. First of all,
that's good for outreach.
Well, yeah. He tweeted out a picture of Hillary Clinton with the C word behind her and thought it was funny. It was just sophomoric and really, misogynistic, maybe. Let's call it what it is.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, if you guys, I would definitely call it that. I was wondering if you guys would agree.
You know, the sad irony of this, in 2012, Reince put together an autopsy on the 2012 election where we were beaten badly, and recognizing that the electorate has changed. And there were things that he thought we should do, put in place, which he has done. Outreach and being in the communities all year, communities that we need to reach out to all year and all the time, and did that for 4 years, and we have this guy come in pretty much unwind all that.
that's a nice way of putting it, right? That's exactly what happened. He came in and he unwound all of that, and then he puts these guys up. And I mean, there's a lot, been around conservative politics for a long time working in talk radio, right? There are a lot of, obviously, when I was on the Rush Limbaugh station and we would go out and do these sorts of things, you meet a lot of interesting folks. And there are, like, as the Democrats have and the liberals have, they've got their nutbags, right? Their lunatic fringe. Well, there's a conservative lunatic fringe as well. And there's a lot of conspiracies. There's a lot of, the 9/11 didn't happen and it's this and it's the fault of the, name your group, whatever it is. And the problem is that Trump loves the theater of that. And he embraces it, as opposed to most mainstream politicians acknowledge it. They may wink at it because they don't want to lose those people necessarily, but they don't ever embrace it. They don't put their arms around them. And when you put an Antonio Sabato Jr., who clearly, has stepped off some sort of a, he's fallen off some kind of a cliff here in terms of his knowledge of things, he doesn't understand that ultimately, he's damaging, he's causing more trouble than he thinks here.
Right, and think about it. 13.5 million people in the primary voted for Donald Trump. We're going to need to get close to 70 million to win the election. So we're a long way away if you're only appealing to that group of however you want to designate them. Mm-hmm. You're not going to win the election, and that's why we've had so many problems and really lost the last
five
elections.
Just repeat after me, Pat. Mm-hmm. Lunatic, fringe. Just one word at a time. No, loon. Just say loon.
I can say lunatic fringe. That's
all right,
he did it.
There you go. That's right, Ben. That's the way to do it. All right. So,
what did you think of Paul Ryan's speech last night? It was sort of strange to me because obviously he's also, you know, not the Trump supporter and fully, and he was trying to have a unifying message. He was trying to outline actual policy, the things you're talking about. I know. It just there's something about it. I just like God, that had to be so awkward, so difficult. He's in such a tough spot.
He's in a really tough spot. He's doing exactly what he's supposed to do as a leader of Republicans, Speaker of the House. He's toeing the company line, which he has to do.
Yeah.
But when you listen to the substance of what he talks about and what he talks about his differences with the nominee, he goes, that's just not my kind of Republican, but we're a big tent. And then someone asked him the follow-up and he said, we're a really big tent because Paul Ryan and Donald Trump on the issues are very far apart. Paul Ryan's actually a conservative. Donald Trump's not. We're a free trade party.
Right. Yeah.
He's not a free
trader.
Donald
Trump is not going to know. He's a
We don't think health care is an entitlement. Donald Trump thinks it's an entitlement. We think you need to have entitlement reform. He doesn't think you need to have any entitlement reform. So he's pretty far off the reservation policy.
Well, it also tells you a little bit about how the policies don't add up. You know, he's going to cut the budget, he's going to do this, do that, and yet everything he's talked about expands spending, which the government doesn't have unless you continue to tax, and then all of a sudden you fall off that other cliff that way. So, I mean,
there's $20 trillion in the hole right now.
Yeah.
That's a big number that we need to start working on.
Yeah. I think Antonio Sabato Jr. mentioned that $20 trillion. I think it was
Did
one
say
of those.
That?
Yeah. Or was it?
Or was the CEO of the winery?
Yeah. That was nice.
Prime time. Is that a good call?
Time. Yeah.
Well, you guys, you're in television and media or have been. What do you think about the way that they wasted prime time space?
Terrible. Well,
terrible.
That's the point. They put the Trump winery person. Listen, the kids are a draw.
Yeah,
the kids are a draw.
Absolutely.
And they did well. And but the problem is that they're an accidental draw because they couldn't get other people that they thought would be draws that they thought they had, and they didn't get them. So they ended up with two daytime stars that
Kimberly Brown, who was from Young and Restless, I believe, and
big
also
name.
Is now an avocado farmer.
Yeah.
And she was in
stars.
Prime time.
Two soap stars in prime time. And they're like, these are daytime stars. And you know, let me explain something to you. They're daytime stars for a reason.
Well, you're a daytime star.
Exactly.
You should have been up there, Ro.
That is my
you're
point.
Just,
yeah, I am not a primetime star. I am a daytime star. Do you understand? You can't put people who are daytime soap opera stars in primetime. It's just not done.
I see that line out in front of Channel 7. That's a big line for you.
That is an interesting line.
He's got his fans.
Yeah.
Definitely
all right.
Does.
Okay. Enough about me. This is not about. This is like Trump.
All right, the fog machine was the other mistake, too.
Okay,
talking
come on.
About visuals.
Oh, come
right?
on.
The dry ice or whatever that was.
Yeah. Pat?
That was, I tweeted out a very nasty text right when he walked out.
Oh, I didn't
out.
See that.
Yeah, it had that one word in there.
Yeah. I
saw that and I just got my blood pressure shot through my head.
All right, Pat, hold on. Wait, something big happened in Illinois, actually. I want to talk
huge.
About it on the other
side.
Talk
about
yeah,
that.
This is interesting. But first, Violetta's got to get us home. Pat Brady is here in Cleveland with me and Anna at the Republican National Convention, and it's WGN 720 in case anybody asks. All right, Pat, something happened. Let's leave Cleveland for a moment. Let's go back home to Illinois. That map amendment that they were trying to get through the electorate here,
yes,
has gotten knocked down by a court.
Well, let's set this up because it's kind of hard to grab what's going on here, but every 10 years, we have a census, and then the legislators, and it's in our Constitution, get to draw a map. And the way it's set up, it's supposed to be a bipartisan thing. But when one side or the other controls it, they draw the map, so their team wins. Basically, the legislators get to pick who votes for them. That's been going on since the Constitution in 1970. Well, it's not quite working out for the state of Illinois. The Democrats, and I'm not dinging the Democrats, the Republicans would do the same thing. Draw these maps so they can't lose. There's
right.
no competitiveness, and then we get the gridlock and the problems we have here. I mean, it's not just Illinois, it's throughout the country. So this group got together. They gathered over 500,000 signatures to try to amend the Constitution to change the process by which legislative districts are drawn. So, so that's why it's fair map. We're going to have actual competitive districts. We're not going to have districts. If you ever look at a map, the way they're drawn, I mean, one street might be one guy and one street might be another lady or representative.
Right.
But the point is, they're drawn so that person will win, and they do win. And it's always one party that wins. The only contests ever are in primaries, which are tough to win when the party's against you. So it's a long explanation, but that sets up the problem, and that's the problem we have in Illinois, which is very acute because we basically have one party that controls everything.
So what happened? They knocked it. So a court knocked it down.
Well, the court ruled that the way that they drafted the proposed constitutional amendment didn't comport with the Illinois Constitution. Now, this has happened before. 2 years ago, they did the same thing, and it was knocked down. It's a direct or automatic appeal to the Illinois Supreme Court.
But will it be on the ballot?
Well, that's the Supreme Court has to rule in time to get it on the ballot. So there'll be a quick turnaround on this. But the one upside in the ruling for the fair map people, and this is a bipartisan group. Mm-hmm. These are not, I know it gets reported as this is Rauner's initiative. It's not. These are people that are on both sides of the aisle that see that the system's not working. They're going to file this appeal, and we will have another ruling from the Illinois Supreme Court within the next probably 4 weeks.
It does seem like a fair idea. If you look at the maps, if you look at the way the districts are split up, they don't really make any sense. They're not cohesive. They're not involving communities that would have like interests. And there's a real argument here that says, hey, this is something that should go to the people and let people decide.
And that's why it's set up this way. And even if you look at some of the legislative history, when they were drafting the Constitution, Speaker Madigan was down there, they said that the danger of those having vested interests, meaning elected officials, the danger of them not making these kind of changes when they need to be made, and it's clear to anybody that lives in the state, I think this has 60 or 70% approval, this fair map amendment. The framers of our Constitution recognize that, but the court today recognized that this is a valid thing to put on the ballot, this kind of initiative, but she put some very heavy restrictions on it, on what the actual language would be, which in effect, you know, negates the ability of the fair map people to get this done. That's getting a little too far into the weeds, but the bottom line is the system's not working.
I'm like a weed whacker. I'm good. I'm used to being in the weeds, but even this as kind of, and I understand the importance of it, but I think this is one of the issues with it, is that it is a really important thing to do, and I think most people don't understand it. Even some of the more sophisticated political people don't quite understand how the mechanics of it.
Well, ask yourself this. Do you really trust the Illinois legislature on either side to pick their own voters? And that's the issue here. A lot of states, it's just a computer that does it, and it does it fairly to comport with the United States and Illinois constitutional requirements. The point is, we should not be letting our elected officials choose their voters, and because it ain't working.
No.
No.
I
have been to see the Illinois State Legislature.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen them in action.
It's a sight to behold, isn't it?
I don't believe that they should be allowed to even meet in a room together.
But if the game is rigged for them and they know they're not going to lose, they're not responsive to your needs. They don't care
whether
we need a tax increase or not, or whether we need to cut spending or not. That's, you don't think that way when you know there's no chance you're not going to get
elected. The concept of representative and representation is lost.
Unrepresentative government.
Which is, you know, that's the theme of this year, right? So you said rigged, you said representative, and that's exactly why Donald Trump is as successful as he is right now. And it's not necessarily because he's the most couth individual. He's the most restrained individual. He's a well-temperamented individual. And he's not an egomaniacal narcissist, which he clearly is. Did you see his entrance today?
Oh, God, what a nut.
He went from he went 800 yards in a helicopter so he could land his logoed helicopter on a grass pad.
You should have gotten a wedgie for that. But
yeah, but he didn't.
This back to this fair map, of all the things that I've ever worked on or been involved in or cared about, to me, this issue is critical to this state. And people, if you're listening to this, you should be calling your legislators and saying, we got to get this done because the system doesn't work. All we want are fair elections. Mm-hmm. That's
right.
It.
We've got a break here for
all
Judy's
said.
News. We're going to miss tone by a few seconds here, so we apologize for that. But we've got Judy coming your way in 2 minutes, and then a top 5 you won't believe.